So great to have you in the house of the Lord today. And it's good that everyone can know your name, amen? And everyone can be glad that you came. I don't know if you remember that old sitcom had that in there. But at church, you know what? We should be family, right? It's not just friends, right? It's not just friends, but we're family. And that because God says that when he adopts us and brings us into his family, so that each and every one of us now are brothers and sisters. You might never have known that you had a brother that looked like me, but you do. I might not have known I had so many sisters, but I do. And God calls us his family. So in 2:17, as we proceed and we slowly tread into 2:17, and that we're going to do it as family. Amen? And that we are better. Okay, we're getting a few people with me on that. I'm going to keep going on that until we all can do it. We are better. The enemy is constantly out trying to divide us. He uses all sorts of things. Likes, dislikes, what we see, what we don't see. He uses all sorts of things that will smell similar or look similar to something in our past. Because that's the only way the enemy can hang on to us and trip us up, amen? He's not a fortune teller. He doesn't know what's ahead. He was created. He is not the creator. Only God is. So we cannot put God and the devil in the same place, amen? Can I get a big amen? Amen. Right? So the devil, he doesn't know your tomorrows. He doesn't know those things. All he knows is your yesterday. So whenever you're facing something today and you're starting to move forward, all he can do is bring up yesterday. And he'll try to make something smell the same, look the same, or feel the same so that he can get you to stop in what God has for you today. God has good things in store for you today, amen? He says, I got plans to prosper you and to give you hope and give you a future, not to harm you. But yet the enemy is constantly trying to batter and beat up relationships. He's trying to batter and beat up families and marriages and church and in your workplace and wherever it might be. Because if he can divide, he will conquer. So as we move into 2:17, let's move in with a heart saying, God, renew my mind, renew my heart, renew and give me a right spirit inside of me so that when I'm looking at something, I'm looking at what you have in your goodness today, what you have in front of me. When something flares up inside and says, oh, that smells like this, in our hearts, let's love over things. Because love covers a multitude of man, we can, you know what? If you love on it once and that old ugly thing still rises up, love over it again. You put enough blankets, layers of love on it, it's not getting back up. Amen? That thought, that feeling, that reaction that would come, because there's no one on the face of the earth that can offend you. No one can offend me, the Word of God teaches us, but that we take on offense because we forget our fight is not against flesh and blood. Oh, isn't the enemy sly? Constantly trying to rob our joy, rob our fellowship, rob our connectivity that God has given us because we are better together. No one has everything on their own. Oh, yes. The moment I asked Jesus in my heart, I got all of Jesus. I got all the Holy Spirit. I got all of God. And then I worked through this process called sanctification. It's just a big terminology that sums it up this way. I worked through a journey of him getting all of me. Amen? From glory to glory, from moment to moment, that I allow him into my life and into the things I say and the things that I do, that I allow him to transform me. And how does that happen? By the Word of God and with Holy Spirit alone. It's not pop psychology. It's not fads. It's not what's happening next. It's not New Year's resolutions. is the good old Word of God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the truth that sets us free. And as we embrace His Word, and as we open our heart to Holy Spirit, then we are destined to succeed. Not to fail, but to succeed in all that God has asked you to do and all that He has asked us to do together. We're destined to succeed when we allow the Word of God and we allow Holy Spirit to lead in everything. Amen? And that's our pledge as a leadership team to you, is that we are going to do everything we can and that to bend our hearts, our lives, this church, to the Word of God and to Holy Spirit's leading. We trust Holy Spirit, amen? We trust His Word. Oh, there's stuff in His Word that it's hard sometimes to swallow. It's an ouch, but it's an amen at the same time. There's sometimes my flesh doesn't want what He says because it's much easier to go this way. But just because it's easy doesn't mean it's what God has. But today I want to talk a little bit about this theme called exceeding joy. This joy that God talks about in His Word that seems to be being zapped out of our lives. Why? Because life is hard. Life isn't easy, amen? And that is full of pain, sorrow, it's full of loss, it's full of difficulties, financial stresses, some things that we walk ourselves into, some things that are blindsided us and out of our control and we never dreamed would ever happen. Or happened way too quick. But in the midst of all of those things, there should be something that can steady us in the middle of it so that we don't lose heart. Don't grow weary in doing good. It's hard. Sometimes when I lose my joy, I can turn around and say, man, it's not fair. I'm doing all of this, and I'm doing this and this. What is this person doing, and what are they doing? The moment we start getting our eyes off of Jesus and our eyes onto people, we lose our joy. Because the joy is His. It's not found in someone else or in something else. It's found in Him alone. And when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, 2017 is a year that God is wanting to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could dream or ask. He wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation. He wants to restore those dreams and visions. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all. There is no one here in the sound of my voice and no one in this face of this earth that is exempt from God pouring His Spirit out upon. That young men would dream dreams, that old men would see visions, that we would come into a place that we would come alive because we're spending time with Him. It's when we come back to the basics, it's all Him and nothing else. If we have Him, we have everything because we lack nothing in Him. Before I get into sharing some verses and sharing things, I just want to talk a little bit about Rockcliffe in 2017. In your bulletin, you might have noticed in that middle column, there's lots of people that Pastor Phil wants to connect with. And that I'm just so excited for what's ahead and what's going on to be able to connect with, to strengthen our kids department, to strengthen our youth department. And that we want to strengthen some of the things we have, but there is one thing that we'll notice right at the very beginning, and it's strategically on purpose called that, and that is Joy Ministries. If you break it down, it would simply say this, just older youth. Those that are 55 and older, they're just older youth, that's it all. We're all kids at heart, right? The Bible says that we're meant to be childlike, and that we're not to grow up too old. Sometimes we can do that, and we can be 13, and we can grow up too old. It's not an age thing, it's a mentality thing. And so we want to reach into our community. We want to love on our body, but we want to reach in our community with a new ministry we want to fire up, and that called Joy Ministry. One of the things that Joy Ministry will do is we're hoping to do, I don't know what to call it, but something like a homecoming. If you know the Gaithers, you know exactly what I'm saying. And that where we have so much talent in Rockcliffe, and you know what? Our community loves music. They love it. People love music. Music is a medium to share and to touch hearts and open things. Amen? And that like a picture is worth a thousand words. That might be so. But music does something into the soul. That's why God has called us to be worshipers. That's why he's called us into this act of worshiping and singing. And that's just one part of worship. Worship is our whole life, giving back to God. When I love my wife as Christ loved the church, I'm actually loving God. When I take care of my kids and I train them in the way of the Lord, I'm actually worshiping God. Because I'm honoring his word and I'm allowing it to come through my life and everything that I do. So if you're here today and you've got a heart for our community, you've got a heart for our seniors, 55 and older. I know those that are 55 don't ever want to be into that category. And those that are 85 feel that maybe, you know, I don't. Anyways, I'm going to get myself in trouble. On that note is, that's one of the major changes we want to make in this year. Is we want to reach out. There's a lot of people. Different stages of life come different questions. Young adults, major question that they deal with is, who am I going to marry? And what am I going to do with my life? That's major questions that they ask. But in the senior lives, am I still needed? And I want to say today, everyone is needed here at Rockcliffe. It doesn't matter your age or your gender. Everyone is important to God and is vital in this piece that God has put together for us to reach Owen Sound. So if you're interested in that ministry, look at that date that we're going to try to meet for a few moments after service to start just connecting and pouring in. There's lots of other things there. This coming year, we also want to do some marriage enrichment. I don't know about you, but how many would agree with me by putting your hand up that marriages and parenting have been under attack a lot in this last while? So much so that marriage, in the world that we're in today, is not much different than a Kleenex box. Oh, I'll marry you. Okay, I'll live with you. Okay, great. Oh, you're not going to do what I want? What do you mean? What is a tent? Okay, forget you. Oh, you want to get together? I might be joking a little bit. Is that not true? The sanctity, the beauty of covenant and relationship. It's not just because God is trying to kill joy things, but he says in his word that we are to be joined together, man and wife, to be married together. Why? Statistics, not even from Christians, from the world itself, it says that those that live together before they get married, or even if they do get married, the chances of them breaking up are higher. God set up things in a certain way. And when we do it his way, we get life and life more abundant. And so we want to enrich marriages this year. If you're here today and you're like, man, I just really got a heart for marriages, I'd love to hear from you. I can't do these things on my own, but I feel like God says we need to answer back. We have the answer. We have the answer is the word of God. Jesus is the answer to everything. And so we want to answer back in our community and offer in that marriage, and we want to offer some parenting help, some support and some things around there so that we can build up families once again, amen? We're going to look to do some more with our families, not just our families, but reaching into the community as family is the hub of everything. Finances, we want to start helping some people with finances. Statistics tell us that most Canadians are so far in debt, they're living paycheck to paycheck. God doesn't want us to live that way. He's got other plans. Don't get me wrong. If we get ourselves into that place or we're pressured into that place, there is hope. God has given us a way. And when we learn that, we put it into practice, it becomes a lot more freer for us. We also want to, and that change, and we want to work on our prayer. We want to change some things up in our building. We want to change some things up on our Sunday night. Prayer has to be the foundation of everything. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, it's time, church, that we return to our knees again. I get, so please hear my heart on this. I get sometimes evenings are tough for some. I get that. So if that's the case, come and see me so that if there's enough and things that maybe we'll create another moment during the day to make it easier for some others to come. Amen? I get that idea. So it's not a right, wrong, good, or bad. It's just, hey, we just need to be a people of prayer. Not just at a moment, but a people of prayer. That we don't just run aimlessly. Many are the plans in a man's heart, the Word of God says. But it's the Lord that orders his steps. So as a people of prayer, when all of a sudden many are the things that come in front of us, lay them all down out in front of you. Take a half a step back and say, God, what do you want? And I guarantee you, you'll never go wrong. If you wait on the Lord and you allow him to lead you, and that he will always lead you for your good and for his glory. Always. I did not say comfortable. I didn't say easy. I didn't say any of those words, but I said for your good. How many know discipline hurts sometimes? But God says he disciplines the one he loves. My kids sure don't love it when I discipline them. But how many times, if I'm not talking punish, big difference, parents, punish and discipline, huge. The world's amalgamated them together and they're trying to throw it all out and now we've got chaos. Okay, I'm not saying punish, I'm saying discipline. Discipline has a good heart. And a right heart. But the times that I discipline my kids, times that after the heat and the steam comes down, they're coming in close to daddy again. Hugging daddy and wanting to be in close. Why? Because they know they're safe. They know that someone cares and loves for them. We want to do a few of those things as we just work on this year of celebrating 100 years. As we celebrate and we grow together and we celebrate with our community, looking for ways to love on the community and to let them know, hey, we're alive and well, we're still here, and that after 100 years of making a difference. Amen? Joy, exceeding joy. One of the many blessings available to the children of God is a very special kind of joy. It's an exceeding, unspeakable joy. Christians are able to greatly rejoice. We should be having the biggest parties ever. Yet for some reason, we've come into the place that we feel that we've got to, we can't ruffle and we can't get too excited, but as Christians, we should get more excited than anything. You get, Dave, you talked about the hockey. I don't know how many times I've seen the hockey team win and everything go ballistic. The score, wah! And people go ballistic. When's the last time you saw someone go ballistic in church when someone got saved? When it really mattered? When's the last time we saw someone get ballistic when someone got set free? All of a sudden, you know, and the Word of God talks about that man, and he got healed, and he couldn't help himself, and he just ran around. Hey, everyone, guess what? I was sick, but now I'm well. Oh, my goodness, did you hear? Oh, my goodness, Jesus, he just came. Oh, my. But we. Danny, God kind of touched my life. Yeah, it's kind of, what's kind of cool and stuff, okay? Yeah. We're so reserved. I know it's a Canadian thing, but listen to me. It doesn't matter if you're here and you're French, you're Portuguese, from India, from Germany, from Canada, whatever nation you want to place on there. that is all secondary now. Because now we're part of a new kingdom. And there's a brand new culture in it. It's a kingdom culture. There's a new way to look, a new way to walk, a new way to talk. And we only find that when we open ourselves up to him and say, God, transform me. Renew my mind. My family did it this way for generations. But God, renew my mind. It's not saying they're wrong, but what it's saying is he's right. Amen? His ways are right. His ways are good. His ways are true. An unspeakable joy, a great rejoicing, a leaping of joy. They have access to joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. A joy so great, so glorious, that it's sometimes really hard to try and truly express it with words. It's kind of like marriage. Someone that's not married and you try to talk about marriage to them, sometimes it just kind of goes over here and under the knees. And you just, well, but you just gotta experience it. The Word of God says marriage is work. And that's where many fail. Because they think marriage is just meant to be, oh, great, got everything. And then they get married and then all of a sudden, clash. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. And there will be sparks at times. It's not good and bad, right and wrong. It's good-willed at heart that God has brought together so that the two might become one and better show Christ. When you walk with your husband or your wife in alignment together, you show off Christ as a beautiful trophy of what marriage and what true love and what covenant and commitment means. So even if you're having a tough go right now, guess what? My wife and I, we've had some tough goes. But we're still standing 21 years later, which is not a lot compared to some in this room. But in that part is I rejoice each and every day that we do it together. God wants to help strengthen and return joy, not just joy in happy times, but joy at all times. Listen to some of the scriptures. Psalms 126, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. I've said it a couple times, and many here know the song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. The moment you start counting your blessings, joy starts filling your heart. Why? Because you're starting to focus and look in the right direction. Not half empty, but half full. Not the enemy's report, but God's report. Whose report will we believe today? I choose to believe the Lord's report. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Psalms 4:7 says, you have filled my heart with greater, exceeding joy. Psalms 43:4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Now, this is the key. Joy is not like happiness, but joy is God. And that's why God said, seek first my righteousness, seek my face, seek me, and all these things will be added unto you. We can chase after joy, we can chase after this, we can chase after that, we can keep chasing and chasing, or we can come, sit up on our daddy's lap, and we can sit there and allow him just to soak it into us. As you spend time with him, he will renew your strength. As you spend time with him, he'll give you the wisdom you need. As you spend time and wait on him, his timing is perfect. Although we don't really believe that. Because anxiousness rises up in all of us. It's called the human condition, the sinful nature. Anxiousness rises up, so we have to take control of it again. If we let go of control, we put our trust in him. He will never lead you astray. He will never harm you or hurt you. He only has good plans for you because he's a good father, and every good thing that has ever happened in your life, ever will happen in your life, is from your good father, the Word of God tells us. And as we draw in close to him, we find out he is our joy. It's not something I'm chasing anymore. It's something that resides in me because God, Emmanuel, has come to dwell amongst us and live in us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful, or rejoice always. This is a challenge he brings to us. 1 Peter 1:6-9 says, in all this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little time you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these things have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, a greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, in glory, in honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We are partaking even now in a broken world the goodness of God. And that the Lord's Prayer talks about bringing a little bit of heaven down to earth. That's what Jesus has done for you and me when we partner with him in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a Monday morning at work. And that one of the youth had a cool little shirt on, and it said something about Monday, and you know, something about punch on Monday or something like that, because no one likes Mondays. But at the end of the day is, you can walk in on a Monday being ecstatically excited about being at work. Or you can take on the world's mentality and claim Monday as the blue day. It's the down day. It's the tough day. It's all about, will we renew our heart and mind to this new kingdom culture in the new way that God has asked us to walk in? Joy, exceeding joy, unspeakable and full of glory, is the bridge between believing and receiving. We can believe lots of stuff, but how many times have we believed for stuff? Never happened. But all of a sudden, we begin to rejoice. We begin to come into a time, no matter what's going on, my God's good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember the story? Fiery furnace, standing before the king. And they said, you know what, king? Even if God does not choose to save us from this moment, yet will we still serve him? Because it doesn't change the fact that he's good. Even if I don't get the answer that I want, even if life doesn't deal out it fairly to me, it doesn't change the fact that God is good. That he has got me, and he's holding me, and he cares for me. Many are the plans of a man's, but it's the Lord who orders their steps. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:7. The kingdom of God is the realm of God. It's the place where God rules and reigns. Jesus is the kingdom is at hand. It's not just when we get to heaven, but it's right now. We're to live, and we're to believe, and we're to walk, and we're to receive all that he has. Not for our benefit that we can walk around, look at me. But he says he blesses us for one purpose only. Is so that we can bless others. Yes, he blesses us because we're his children and he loves us and we're faithful. I get all of those things. But really, ultimately, it's for one purpose. So that his will is none would perish. And he wants everyone to taste and see he's good. So when he blesses you, just let it rebound, kind of like one of those boomerangs from Australia. As it comes down back to you, you just let it bounce and hit you, that blessing, and you let it go back out to anyone else that you can around you. And watch what God will do. Watch what God will do when all of a sudden joy becomes contagious. If you want the kingdom of God to break loose in your life, then joy is a supernatural battle strategy. It is our strategy that we can laugh. Oh, death, where is your sting? Is that the best you got, enemy? Really, is that it? You can do all you want to this rental body. How many people have ever rented a car? And now in the new parts, they're saying, you know, your insurance isn't quite good enough. Why? Because, you know and I know, they want a little more money. If you're a rental car person, please forgive me. And that, but in that part is that, you know, they said, well, take out our insurance. If you take our insurance out, you turn the key on, you do whatever you want, you bring it back. As long as it's got four wheels left on it, it doesn't matter. It's all covered. Well, you know what the end of the day is? You're covered. When you give your heart to the Lord, you're covered by his grace. You're covered by his mercy. He's got you. No one, no death, nor wicked, anything in this world, nothing can take you from the love of God. You're covered. So don't worry if you get a few bangs on the body. Don't worry if you get a few bangs of life. Don't worry if everything changes, which it does, in different seasons of life. If you still have breath, then your body has still got something to move forward to. And as we look and we start to begin to see, okay, God, what is it now you want me to do? And we start embracing it and we allow joy to rise in our heart. All of a sudden then, the enemy starts to have nothing. The enemy does not like to be around happy people, joyous people. He doesn't like it. Why? Because he can't get us caught in anything. Why? Someone slaps you in the face. Ha, ha, ha. Turn your other cheek. It's okay. I'm going to love over it. I'm going to learn to forgive quickly. We get in trouble when we don't take the principles of God's word and put them into practice. Forgiveness is a pretty big issue with God. I don't claim to be a great scholar in all of this, but in simplicity, the Word of God tells us that if we don't forgive our brother or sister whom we see, we shut down God. We stop God from forgiving us. Listen to me. Forgiveness is an ugly thing. Unforgiveness, sorry, is an ugly thing. It destroys the inner part of who we are. It robs the joy. You might say, but you don't know what that person did. I don't know what they did, but I know what he did for me. And I know what he did for you. And I'm so sorry. Anything anyone's done to us is nothing compared to what he's done for us. And he's asked us to forgive quickly, quickly. Forgiving, and that is a totally different thing than the world talks about. Not throwing it under the carpet. It's throwing it into his hands. It's throwing it into his hands so that you don't get caught with it and the other person doesn't have power over you. Because now every time the enemy brings it up to you, say, it's not mine. You got to go talk to the big guy. He's got it now. Amen? He wants us to learn to forgive quickly and to love often. God is the potter. We are the clay. God shapes us and molds us if we allow him to do it. The first thing we need to realize, though, is there's a difference between that joy and the happiness that we talked about. The Bible mentions joy over 330 times. Happiness, 26. I think God's trying to emphasize something. Joy comes from the inside. You can't possess joy. You can possess joy, even when you're going through a rough circumstance. Because it's from the inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have joy inside of you, joy's going to come out in your outlook of life. It's going to come out in what you do. But if you don't allow joy to rule in your life, How many know, like your pastor, I could put his hand up, sometimes there's not always the best things that come out of my lips. Sometimes my thoughts aren't always the best because I'm suppressing what God wants, or I'm not feeding that part by being in his word, waiting on him, allowing Holy Spirit to lead me. And so then what happens is I allow the enemy just to plant thoughts and things in my head. And that's where we've got to come back and allow the Lord to renew us. Joy is from the inside. Happiness depends upon what happens to you. Happiness depends on what happens to you. If your circumstances are right, then you'll be happy. If they're not right, you're not going to be happy. But joy comes from the inside. Joy is a spiritual practice, growing out of faith and grace and gratitude and hope and love. You invite joy into your life when you invite Jesus to dwell in your life. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we claim it, we talk about it all as if it's something we've got to pick and we've got to get into our life. That is Holy Spirit. That's his very nature. Joy, peace, love. So all those fruit of the Spirit, that's his very nature of who he is. And when you allow Holy Spirit, it's not about getting more of God. We sing a lot of songs that way. More of you, Lord, more of you. And I get it, what we're trying to say, but we've got to understand it's not getting more of God. I didn't get baby Jesus, baby God, baby Holy Spirit. We got all of them when we allowed him in our heart. The problem is not God. As if he shortchanged us and he gave me a little bit less than someone else, and now I've got to work at trying to get more. He gave me everything. And the goal is, and the truth is, are we really humbling ourselves and letting him have all of us? For when we humble ourselves and we allow him to have all of us, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Love the Lord your God. Saran wrap the whole Bible into two things. It's about loving God with everything. Body, mind, soul, and spirit, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And when we come into the place of allowing that to flow into our life, we're going to realize all the joy you need is right here. Because he's right here. All the self-control you need is right here. All the love you need is right here. Oh man, I've blown all, this person has taken all my love. I got no more love for him. And God's saying, it's right here. It's right here. I will overflow you with exceeding joy and love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. I'll just overflow with exceeding part inside of you, abundantly above all you could dream or ask, according to his riches. This is the God that we serve. It's not about emotions. It's about a relationship. It's time we come into a place that we start telling our emotions, you're not controlling me anymore. We are controlled way too much by our emotions instead of by the Spirit of God. And we've got to come to the place of sometimes taking ownership of our emotions and saying, wait a second here. This smells like something that's happened to me in the past. So automatically my emotions from that past thing come up to this and say, and we're ready to fight or run. And we need to submit those things to God and saying, God, what do you want to do today? Because today's a brand new day. Emotions are not what is supposed to lead our life. You may not always feel happy, but you can still have joy in your heart because Jesus dwells within inside of you. You don't have to lose your joy because of trials in life. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are called to his purposes. That in all things, God works together for good, everything. Even though I don't see it, but I see in part, he sees in full. On my best of best of best days, where God and I feel so close, and I'm hearing him, and oh God, this is feeling awesome, I still see in part. I might get a glimpse for that moment, but I don't see the big pictures that God sees. I don't know about you, but after 30-some years of serving the Lord, I actually believe I need him more now than I did the very first day. Why? Because now I got a lot of head knowledge. Now I got a lot of life in church. Good, bads, and uglies. I'm telling you now, I've seen it all. And I have all those filters and all those things. I need them now more than I ever did. And I constantly try to get my heart into the position of being childlike, not carrying all the weights, not carrying all the things. How many know your child can go in the fridge and can eat it out of house and home, can use, turn up the heat and do everything else? Why? Because they're not paying the bills, right? Carefree. This is awesome. This is God, come on, lighten up, Dad. We're just having fun. Well, we have a good father who has paid all the bills. And he wants us to come in as a little child to our daddy that trusts him, that he will protect you. He will take care for you. He will provide for you all of your needs according to his riches. Oh God, would you continue to speak into my heart and through my heart to everyone? God is working things out for those who are called according to his purpose. People that are living obedient and love the Lord, he works everything out. You may have lost your job. You may be in a tough relationship. You may have pressures at work or missed a promotion or whatever it might be. But in that part is God's got you. Everything could be crumbling around you, and he still has you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let that joy rise inside of you that God is for you. And if God be for you, who and what could be against you? Maybe it's even someone in church that said something wrong, stepped on your toe. Don't let that steal your joy. Isaiah 55:11 said, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrows and mourning will flee. Oh, you know what? I believe that verse so strong and true that when we walk into the supermarket, when we walk into Walmart, when we go into our workplace, when we go into our home, wherever it might be, and that gladness and joy should overtake everyone we come into, and so sorrow and mourning would leave. If he is greater in us, and he is everything that we say he is, and we sing about, and we pray that he is, then when we walk into a room, everything should start to shift. The atmosphere should change. But if we're not carriers of that joy, if we're not carriers of that part of his spirit inside of us, we won't change anything. Because it's only he that can change things. Not us, but him. Let me wrap up in just a few moments here. Nehemiah tells us, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes the devil tries to steal our joy by unsatisfied expectations. This is a tough one, because it's so raw and so real. No one in this room does this, but I do sometimes. I raise my expectations of someone, thinking that they should do what I'm thinking, and they should know what I'm thinking before I say it. And if they don't, something's wrong with them. And we lift our expectations up, and when they don't fulfill that expectation inside of us, what do? Or we turn around and we start to give them the cold, or we start to speak ill over them when they're not in the room. I know none of this resides with anyone here and that, but it does for me. unmet expectations, can I simply give us a little nugget? It's time that we lower our expectations of people and we heighten it of God. God moves kings and queens' hearts. He surely can move your heart and mine. Lower your expectations of people. Heighten it of God. He is the provider of everything. When we allow him and we don't become anxious, we don't become fearful, or we don't become worried or any of that, but we wait on him and we allow him to renew that inside of us. Paul says in Philippians 4:12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. Philippians 4:12. Contentment doesn't come when we have everything we want. It comes when we want something and we're willing to wait on it with God. We're willing to trust him. We're wanting it so bad that we're willing to trust him for the perfect timing. And contentment starts to come in. It's okay, he's got my back. He's got this. It's kind of like that couple that is getting ready to get married. And they're so excited. That day. And that once they set that day, everything just shifts. Because they've got to contend. We know that day is coming. Well, we know the day is coming that God is going to provide for us. He's going to come back. He says, I'm preparing a place. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you, Jesus said. The contentment comes when we want something so bad that we're willing to trust God to bring it the right way. Because how many know sometimes good things in the wrong way can be pretty dangerous? Right? Let me pause here. Make sure everyone's awake. I got 3 minutes left, according to this clock, and my right eye is stronger than my left. All the married ones, the ones that are not married, just plug your ears for a moment. All the married ones, how many would agree sex is good? Okay? God created it, so it's no, there's no bad thing in that one. Don't worry. It's how God created it. But how many know it's a good thing, but if it's not in the right timing, that good thing can do a lot of harm. Just because God said, I'm going to do this, or just because God said, turn, go in this direction, or I want you over here, or whatever it might be, or you're going to get married, that's only half of the equation. The other half is, when, God? When? Oh, we're going to get married. Okay, when? What do you want, God? Oh, where do they go over? Okay, God, when? Timing is so important. It's just as important as knowing what's right. Because when they get coupled together, we end up walking down a path that God has prepared already in advance for us. That even our enemies and those around won't even see. Won't even find anything because God has laid it out perfectly. If God be for you, who could be against you? Joy, unspeakable joy. If your joy is lost, Psalms 51:12 says that it can be restored. David writes, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There's an old evangelist called Billy Sunday. And he said this, he says, the trouble with many is that they have just enough religion to make them miserable. Just enough of our foot into church, just enough of our foot in to religion to make ourselves miserable. Because now it's do's and don'ts and we're doing the splits and man, guys don't do them so well. God wants us both feet in or both feet out. But if you try to straddle it, it will only do you harm and everyone else that's looking at your life, them harm. It's about a relationship, and relationships is all or nothing. Amen? So how do you get it back? And I finish with this. Psalm 17:2, a cheerful or joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit zaps a person's strength. Some of us just need a good belly laugh. Just need to laugh. Just need to come with a dose where the Holy Spirit will just give laughter inside of us, because it's the only thing that's going to break it open. To others, we need to learn how to lay things down before the Lord. That forgiveness, that part. So here's the keys. Gratitude, compassion, giving to others, contentment. Those are all things that God wants to develop in our hearts that will help us so that we can restore joy or stop joy from coming out of our life. That's gratitude, compassion, giving to others, contentment, and the last and probably most important is forgiveness. If you can't forgive the person and the circumstances that has stolen your joy, if you can't forgive them on your own, then you need to open your heart to the Lord, because he wants to help you today. Today's your day to be free. Today's your day to walk away lighter than you came in. And we might think it's this, and it's this, and it's this, but I feel that God's been pulling into my heart saying, it's this area of forgiveness. I don't know, have you ever played the game Jenga? Take a block from the bottom and put it on the top. If you pull the wrong block, everything tumbles. That's the game. But reality is, if you allow Holy Spirit to pull the right block today, a lot of the things that you're struggling with will begin to fall down. And you won't have to deal with all of them, but you'll be able to deal with one. And that one there is the link to so many others. And God's spoken to my heart today to challenge our hearts. It's in the area of unforgiveness. If you're here today and there's something in your heart, and listen, if you have to think about it and try to dig for something now, it's not you. But the moment I say unforgiveness or forgiveness and something comes into your heart, then God wants you to know that was Holy Spirit prompting you to say, today's your day. Today is your day. Today is your day to walk light and walk free. He says his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Psalms 51:10 says, like David, he cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. I'm going to ask Dave Adams to come back. Acapella probably, buddy. And that singing, that song, creating me a clean heart. I know you know it. If not, it's in the binder over here and you can grab a copy of it. And we're just going to sing this song as we close today. And that, because God wants to create in us a clean heart, as we come into 2:17, that we won't have all the weights and hurts and pains and things of 2:16 coming into 2:17, but we'll be able to walk light and walk free. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. If you're not walking free today, can I simply be bold enough to say, it's not a God problem. It's something that God wants to release for you. And if you'll grab that today, I believe in my heart, he's here and he wants to touch your heart so that you can walk away free in light. Today is your day to be free. Today is your day, and that to start day one. Take a blank page and say, God, what do you have for me? Not a page with a long list of things. Let's let God deal with them today so that we can come with a blank page and say, God, what do you got for me today? It's a brand new day, a blank page. Amen? That's what 2:17 is going to bring for each and every one of us. That embrace is an exceeding joy. In the midst of anything we face, an exceeding joy. It's yours. It is yours. If you'll reach out and grab it today, you'll allow God and that to let it come out of you. That joy of the Lord. He said he will renew the love, the joy of our salvation. He'll renew our first love with him if we'll open our heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask right now God, I ask right now, Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. And I've done my best, Lord, so where I failed or where I missed, Lord, would you just come and would you just work that out right now? But Lord, don't let us walk away the same way we came in. You love us too much for that. And Lord, you are here amongst us doing a work. You are touching, you are speaking, Lord, into the very core and fibers of us. Maybe we didn't want it, but if we're really honest, we know we needed it today. That today you're marking on our calendar, this is the day that I was set free. This is the day that I could cast my care upon you. This is the day that I could forgive. This is the day that I'll walk out of here lighter and freer than I've ever walked before. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, with every eye closed and eyes, your heads bowed, just out of honor right now. I'm not even looking right now because, you know what, I really believe this is a God thing. We got to bring everything back to him. I want to ask you, if something God's been speaking to your heart, something through the message or something today that's spoken to your heart, and he's kind of prompting it, I just want, as an act of coming in agreement, would you just kind of put your hand out towards him and say, God, here's my unforgiveness. Here's my hurt. Here's my pain. Here's whatever it is. And just bring your hand out before him and just offer it to him. No one looking around. This is the thing between us and God. God, we just give it to you right now. God, it has been hurting us. It's been eating us in our heart. God, it's been blocking us. It's been tainting my view. Whatever it might be, you use your own words and begin to express to him. And ask him, God, would you come and take this? You said I can cast all my cares on you because you care for me, so I'm casting it towards you right now. God, would you just lift it from me? God, even physically, would you allow people to feel lighter inside? God, Lord, I pray that even maybe for the first time in a little bit, Lord, that all of a sudden a smile can come to the face. Lord, it's just an expression, not that we need those things because we trust you, God, but just as an expression, Lord, to encourage the individuals, Lord. Lord, I just pray you would do what you would do right now, all through this place. Turn our mourning into dancing, our sorrow into joy. Bind up the broken heart. Set the captive free. Release the prisoner. And declare favor over someone's life. Someone here, you need to know God's not against you. Life has not been fair to you and it's been overwhelming. Lord, I just declare favor over that person right now. That's kind of feeling abandoned or feeling left out or feeling overlooked. God, may you pour your favor upon them that they would know you will never leave them nor forsake them so we can shut the door on the enemy. Oh, God, I pray whatever area that needs to be, especially around the forgiveness or the unforgiveness, Lord. God, I pray, right, Lord, especially around there, but in any area right now, we embrace, we grab a hold, as we've released that, we grab a hold of the truth of your word, for it's the truth that sets us free, is, Lord, that you, as we come and confess to you, you are faithful and you are just. As far as the east and the west, you remember it no more, so renew our minds so we don't even remember it as the enemy tries to taunt us. Help us to remember who has it, who is in control. And we've given it over to you, so renew our mind to that right now. It's no longer my right to fight for my right. You now have my life. I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. So God, I trust you. I trust you. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the freedom that is just moving through this place. I just thank you for that right now.